May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to read verses 4 and 5 from John 15, but I'm going to read it from the Bill's literal translation. Abide in me, I also in you. Just as the branch is not able to bear fruit by itself, Abide in me, I also in you. Just as the branch is not able to bear fruit by itself if it does not abide in the vine, so neither can you if you do not abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one abiding in me and I in him, this one bears much fruit, for without me you have no power to do nothing. And that's how it literally reads in the Greek, okay? You have no power to do nothing if you don't abide in Jesus. And so that brings up the whole issue of what does it mean to abide? And the Greek word for abide is meno. And that's not the little fish, okay? That's M-E-N-O when it's translated into English, all right? Mu, Epsilon, Nu, Omega is M-E-N-O. Now, I'm going to revisit the whole issue of minnow as in M-I-N-N-O-W, but give me a minute. Minnow in the Greek, abide, appears over 120 times in the New Testament. The RSV uses 15 separate words to translate minnow. And among the most common are abide, which appears 43 times, remain, which appears 30 times, and stay, which appears 22 times. Now, I believe, Father Chris, you can give me an ASL answer yes or no. Okay, do you still have your Remain Man t-shirt? You do? Okay, yes. All right, there you go. Yes, that's based on this passage, I believe, is it not? Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. Anyway, so I looked this up in the Kittle's Theological Dictionary because I wanted to see what the scholars say in terms of what minnow actually means. And let me just give you five of their many, many interpretations of the word minnow. Remain in place, stay in the house, stay alive, stand fast, and endure. Now, that sounds like it makes this a very important word for this time in our existence, does it not? But let me get back to the whole question of a minnow. That's the little fish, okay? A minnow is a very small, very insignificant fish. I mean, when they're full grown, they're usually only 2 or 3 inches in length. So what good are they? Well, they're commonly used as bait to catch bigger fish. All right? What I'm hearing the Lord say is that Jesus said he came and he was going to make us become fishers of men. God is going to use us, who are minnow Christians, as it were, to catch a bigger catch. All right? But we need to become minnow Christians. We need to become abiders. We need to learn what it means to abide in Jesus Christ. For, again, for without abiding in Jesus, we have no power to do nothing. All right? But with Jesus, we have the power to do incredible, mighty things and to bring in, as it were, the big catch. Well, let me give you a couple of examples. During this quarantine, Miranda found something on Facebook that said, during this quarantine, we're either going to become a chunk, a drunk, a hunk, or a monk. Now, I get one yes over there. We can't have amens, all right? So, yeah, okay, all of you learn your ASL, all right? You know, that's yes, all right? That's an amen. There you go. All right. And if you really don't like what I'm saying, you go, eh. Okay. All right. Anyway, thank you. All right. To be, you know, this really actually makes a certain amount of sense, and I'll give it to you from a personal perspective, all right? I've found that I'm becoming a chunk. Kat and I were talking about that before the service started. Yeah. I've gained at least 20 pounds since this starts because, you know, you're sitting around the house all day. Well, what do? You go to the refrigerator, you see what's available, and you eat it. So we become chunks, which is probably better than the second alternative, which is drunks. But I have seen on the internet that, okay, I'm not sure what that one means. But anyway, okay, it looks like we lost Hugh and Susan Morris. They're having internet problems, so I'm sorry. Anyway, I did see somewhere on the internet, though, that there are more people drinking during the daylight hours, and it makes a certain amount of sense. You get kind of discouraged during the daylight hours, and so there's nothing to stop you from drinking because you're not going to be driving anywhere, and so people end up imbibing during the daylight hours with whatever their...
Well, those two spirits in the spirit.
Okay. Anyway, I know... I'll be honest with you. In the evenings, I'm enjoying an extra glass of whiskey. This, you know, I probably would do two or three a week. Well, now I'm doing probably four or five a week. And that's probably not the best thing in the world, but there it is. Now, the third option is to become a hunk. I will never be accused of becoming a hunk. That's just not likely to happen. But what that means is that people have a lot more time to work out and to do their exercises, and a lot of people are taking advantage of that. And that's not necessarily bad, but it can become an obsession for some individuals. And then the third, a monk. People are spending more time in the Word, praise the Lord. But they are also, unfortunately, there is a tendency in becoming a monk to become a hermit, to isolate ourselves from others, and that's not a good thing. But instead of all of that, we can become meno-Christians, all right? We can abide. So what does the scripture say to us about learning how to abide, how to become a meno-Christian? Well, let's look first at the... chunk. Now, the chunk is, if you will, the sin of gluttony. What does the scripture say about that? In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything." Eating is a good thing. Eating is important. We have to do that to sustain life. But when it becomes an object in and of itself, when we become totally dependent on it, then it dominates us. And what Paul says is, it's lawful, yeah, but we can't let it become our focus. We can't let it be a dominating influence in our lives. Excuse me. Can you get me my water bottle, please? Romans chapter 13, verse 14 says, "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." We put on the Lord Jesus, and we make no provision for overabundance, overindulgence in things of the flesh. And thirdly, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, Paul reminds us that, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? We are supposed to take care of our bodies because the Spirit of God dwells within us." The meno-Christian will care for the body just as it is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And when we abide in Christ, then we have the power to stand fast against these temptations of the flesh. All right, chunk. Let's look now at drunk. Well, obviously the sin of drunkenness is a problem for a lot of people. Whether it's alcohol or whatever your depressant of choice, if you're really having trouble coping, you can turn to these things that are your depressant of choice, or you can turn to the Lord. The drunk turns toward the depressants. The minnow Christian turns toward the Lord. Alcohol in and of itself, it's not wrong. It's not a sin. As a matter of fact, Psalm 104, verses 14 and 15, in those verses it says that God gave us wine to gladden the heart of man. It's a gift from God, and we can celebrate that, and that's a good thing. In fact, Matthew chapter 11, verses 16 through 19, says, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard. The Son of Man is Jesus. Obviously, Jesus was a man who went to a meal, and he would enjoy the fruits of that meal, which usually, as a good Jew, is going to include some very fine, well, maybe not really fine, manischewitz, or whatever. Anyway, and it would include wine. All right? And then in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul reminds us, do not get drunk with wine. And as Tripp was trying to point out, be filled with the Spirit, or be drunk in the Spirit. It's not appropriate to get drunk with wine, but it is wonderful to be drunk in the Spirit. And so when we have trouble coping, where are we going to turn? Are we going to turn to our drug of choice, or are we going to be minnow Christians and turn to the Lord? When we turn to Christ and in Christ, when we abide in Him, we've got the power of the Spirit to endure, and we have the power of the Spirit to overcome. All right. What about a hunk? Now, this is, as it were, the flip side of the coin of gluttony, okay? It's just one coin, but it's two sides of the same coin. Whereas the sin of gluttony is the one side, the sin of idolatry and vanity becomes the other side. When we are taking care of our body, when we're doing exercise, that's a good thing. But when we make that kind of physical health an object of vanity, an object of idolatry. I've got to have my exercise because I've got to have a six-pack, and I've got to have biceps that come from Arnold Schwarzenegger or whatever it may be. Then that becomes problematic for us. In Proverbs 31:30, it says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. It's good for you to look nice, but it's even greater for you to fear the Lord and to walk in His ways. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 says, while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way. And in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26, it says, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh.
Maybe the female perspective on that is, instead of you're exercising all the time, you're online ordering lots of clothes while you're
no. Miranda is saying the female version of that is you're during the quarantine, you're online ordering lots and lots of beautiful clothes. Okay, well, that could happen too.
Different version of that.
A different version. So, to be a minnow Christian is to exercise in the Spirit. Yeah, it's great to get your physical exercise, but do not neglect the things of the Spirit. Exercise in the Spirit. All right, the fourth one, the monk. How can it be wrong to be a monk? Well, you need to have a calling to be a monk, first of all. What happens is, when we have these kinds of times of isolation and desolation, as it were, it's easy to get discouraged and depressed and to isolate.
To go into a funk.
You go into a funk, exactly. we separate ourselves from others because we really can't handle any more stimulus. And believe me, I understand about that right now. I don't know what you guys did between the 10 o'clock trial and the 1 o'clock success. I laid down and went to bed. I don't know about you, but it was exhausting trying to figure this out this morning. But the danger is when we do that constantly, we just completely isolate ourselves from everyone else. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25, it says, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together," well, or at least virtually together, "as the habit of some is, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Encourage one another. Spend time with one another. When you find yourself in one of those blue funks, don't isolate. Reach out. Call somebody. Talk to them. Meet with them over the internet if you have to, in person if you can. Because isolation feeds depression. Depression is really nothing more than just anger at the situation turned inward. And that's not healthy. We go, "Oh, no one understands what I'm going through." Everybody understands what you're going through. We're all going through it together right now. So reach out. Reach out to another and reach out and touch someone. Okay? In the Great Commission, Jesus said, "I will be with you always." You're never alone. And the experience that you are experiencing is not unique to you right now. So share it with somebody and build each other up and encourage one another. Be a minnow Christian. Minister to one another and find ministry in giving. I believe that if we all had that mindset of giving of ourselves, we would receive abundantly in return. Don't forget, too, the minnows, the fish. You will never find a minnow alone. Minnows always travel in schools. They're always together. As a matter of fact, when you want to catch minnows, all you have to do is put a net down where they are, and you'll catch literally dozens of them with just a simple net, because minnows stick together. Let's be minnow Christians. Let's stick together and walk through this, enduring it together. All right. Well, these are difficult times, but what does the Lord tell us to do? He tells us to abide in Him. So be a minnow Christian. Remain in place. Stay in the house. Stay alive. Stand fast and endure. I think today's experience is probably a really good example for us about having to endure. I thank you all for bearing with us and sticking with us and coming back again 3 hours later. I believe it's just a tremendous blessing for us to abide together and to walk in Christ. "The one abiding in me," Jesus said, "and I in him, this one bears much fruit. For without me, you have no power to do nothing." Without Jesus, we have no power. But with Jesus, when we abide in Him, we have the power to overcome any and every obstacle. Amen. Mm-hmm.